Good afternoon and welcome. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5 Micro FM, Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. Simulcast on the Grow Your Own Channel, 107.5 FM, Greenville, South Carolina, the Jalapeno Channel, 87.9 FM, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, Wilco Radio, Brazoria County, Texas, and numerous other micro broadcasts and webcasts across our great nation. Our website is FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. We open the broadcast with Trenches by Pop Evil. It is, well, my goodness, man, that was snuck up on me. It is. It's Weasel Wednesday. It's also the 19th day of September, 2018. It's 12:04 Pacific time. I'm your host, Henry Shively. This is a live call-in program, and listeners are encouraged to join in the conversation. If you'd like to call in, the number is 641-715-3610. A nice lady will come on the line and ask you for the conference room you want, and that would be 220029 and then the pound sign. Again, that's 641-715-3610. And then enter 220029 and hit that pound sign. Of course, you have to punch in *6 to unmute if you want to come up on the air and mix it up with me today. Well, it's currently 60 degrees here, 4,200 feet in the high Cascades of northern Jefferson, and we're looking for a high of 69 degrees today for the Klamath Basin, and it's just a beautiful day. It's cool. You know, it was cold this morning. I don't think it's going to make 69. It's just the chilly north wind blowing. I don't like it. That means winter's coming. I love the fall, but I hate the winter, people. That being said, well, we'll just start chit-chatting. Yeah, when we get back.
Thank you for listening to PBFTT.
Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5.
Micro FM.
Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson.
Bringing you the word from the trenches, please give a big round of applause for Henry Shively.
Alrighty then. I'll start off telling everybody that, you know, I'm pretty rummy dummy right now. As you know, if you read the site, I've been working on a mandamus, writing a mandamus. And that's why I talked to Coyote. He wanted me to write a mandamus and publish it on the site for educational purposes. And I said, man, you know, I have medical problems, man. I mean, I work out and stuff, you know, and I'm in good shape for what's been done to me, but the radio broadcast and stuff, especially the radio broadcast, it's really hard on me. And when I start to work on something, that's why I don't like doing documentation. I don't like doing documents. When I start to work on something, I can't stop. I can't sleep. I can't eat. It's a terrible thing, terrible thing. And I didn't get no 2 weeks of rest, and I did it anyway because necessity dictated. But the mandamus is complete. It was put in the mail just a little while ago. And it's up. All Laura has to do is just push the button and it'd be published on the site. I was hoping Charlie Walker would be up by now because I was going to say that there's only one condition to releasing it, give it to all the trenchers. You're my people. I love you. But Charlie Walker has to come up on the air and he needs to give his word that he's going to make a donation to FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com this week. I don't care if it's just five fucking dollars. Charlie's got this thing going, and I believe it has to do with when JD left it. Charlie didn't like it. I like Charlie. I mean, he's got Wilco Radio and stuff, you know, and I've talked to him on the phone. I like Charlie. But this is one of those little glitch things that, you know, I ain't going to stand for. I provided education that, fuck, you can't buy it. You couldn't buy it nowhere in this goddamn country, and everybody knows it. And I've given it away. And Charlie has been a beneficiary of it, and he's learned it, and I'm proud of Charlie for, you know, the way he is, attached to it and learned it, and even put it to use on an occasion. But still, Charlie refuses to step up when people I know that don't have a pot to piss in nor a window to throw it out, they want to give me their last fucking $5, and I have them to say, don't do it, you know. And maybe that's Charlie. Maybe he'll pop up here in a minute. No, Laura says no. So now, see, like I said, I'm not quite all here. But I do want, you know, the thing is, Mark Schumacher, he has a copy of it. And I can send a copy. I could go down through the donators, and I guess I could take the time and send everybody a copy of it and not publish it. I want to publish it because it's unique. I've been thinking about how it would have to be done, and considering the way they've mixed the jurisdictions and the way they've taken, you know, the corporation, and they want to take authority over you without affording you your common law rights. They've removed our courts. Anyways, so Charlie ain't going to come up. Maybe we'll start on an article and see if he wants to come up here. Nearly half, and I haven't read any of these articles, by the way, so this will be kind of shoddy, too. Nearly half in the top U.S. cities don't speak English at home. Nearly half in top U.S. cities don't speak English at home, recorded six. I think that's supposed to be half the cops is what it was supposed to be, and it's not printed correctly. Just my luck. Anyway, this is from the Washington Examiner. It was sent in by Mark Schumacher for discussion on From the Trenches, worldreport.com. Nearly half of the residents in the nation's five biggest cities do not speak English at home. Oh, residents. Nearly half the residents. Only 11 million of them? Choosing instead their native language, according to the latest Census Bureau data that details the impact of a decade of soft immigration policy. Overall, a record 67 million do not speak English at home, said the Bureau. That is nearly double in 27 years. It has just released analysis of the census data, the Center for Immigration Studies said. As a share of the population, 21.8% of U.S. residents speak a foreign language at home, roughly double the 11% in 1980. You don't think that you're being recolonized here, people? The center added, in America's five largest cities, 48% of residents now speak a language other than English at home. In New York City and Houston, it is 49%. In Los Angeles, it is 59%. In Chicago, it is 36%. And in Phoenix, it is 38%. The findings come as more and more reports emerge about both Americans and foreigners getting into heated debates over speaking English. Well, I don't know. English is the official language of this country, but there are places down south, like in New Mexico and on the border states, where you know, if you go into a court, all the legal documents are in fucking Spanish. You think you're not being this country is not being taken over? You think that we haven't been attacked at our body politic? I mean, at the very base of it, can you imagine going in? Well, I read an article the other day that said there was a place down by the border down there in the United States that if you couldn't speak Spanish, it was a Taco Bell, you couldn't get buy food. How much of this shit are we going to take, people, before we take our country back? The findings come as more and more reports emerge about both Americans and foreigners getting into heated debates over speaking English. In one case in New York last May, a man threatened to call immigration police if employees and customers didn't stop speaking English in a restaurant. Well, fuck, of course. Where was this at? In New York? Well, of course you can't speak English in a restaurant in New York. Last week in Florida, a Taco Bell, here it is, patron was turned away because a worker said nobody spoke English and couldn't take the fucking order. And I, you know, when I was driving truck, I'd get down to like around down San Diego where, you're being cautious not to drive across the goddamn border because you're going to 5 miles from the border, 10 miles where you're down to delivering. And shit, this has been damn near 10 years ago. I know enough Spanish till I could order some goddamn food, but there was nobody, there was no English being spoken, period. None. Okay. Among the top findings from the Center for Immigration Studies report, in 2017, a record 66.6 million U.S. residents, native-born legal immigrants and illegal immigrants, ages 5 and older, spoke a language other than English at home. The number has more than doubled since 1990 and almost tripled since 1980. As a share of the population, 21.8% of U.S. residents speak a foreign language at home, roughly about, roughly double the 11% in 1980. In America's five largest cities, 48% of residents now speak a language other than English. 48%, that's over half. You think they've got about enough in here to try to conquer us people? But there's only 11 million foreigners, I mean, in the country, right? Only 11 million. What is there, 340 million people in this country? 48? Looks like a lot more than 11 million to me. In America's okay. Let's see, where is it? 48% of residents now speak a language other than English at home. In New York City and Houston, it is 49%. And these are, remember, these are goddamn huge population centers. Los Angeles, 59% more speak foreign language at home than English. What do you think they're outnumbered? And is there any effort to stop any of this shit? You know, we talked about Donald Trump. We went down and he made all kinds of deals with Mexico to renegotiate the trade deals and stuff. They are going to pay for that wall, right? And he is getting every fucking one of them out of here, right? Just like he promised, right? 59% in Chicago, it is 36%. And in Phoenix, it is 38%. In 2017, there were 85 cities and census-designated places in which a majority of residents spoke a foreign language at home. These include Hialeah, Florida, 95%. 95%. Laredo, Texas, 92%. And East, I got to say, they fucking outnumber us at this point in the ballgame. What do you think, people? And they're all armed. This is how you get an army across your border in order to try. The only way this country could ever be conquered, a conventional attack would never work. But, I mean, this is just, I wonder if they just let them just walk in and then we could give them the guns. What I hear down on the border, down there in Arizona and down on the borders there, I mean, they're coming across, I mean, fully equipped with goddamn machine guns, everything else. I mean, I think we're being invaded, people. While we talk about the latest drama of Donald Trump, you know, I guess his Supreme Court nominee 36 years ago wallered some girl's claim and he wallered her on the couch. He just wallered on her, you know. God damn it, I'm telling you, there's more important things than the goddamn sovereignty of this country. There has to be. Where we include Florida. See right here. Perhaps more surprisingly, it also includes places like Elizabeth, New York, New Jersey, 76%. Skokie, I guess it's Illinois, 56%, and Germantown, Maryland, and Bridgeport, Connecticut, each 51%. Germantown. What do you think, people? And I think that maybe this is the revealing that, hey, you know what? We pump more people in here. We've got more fucking foreigners in here than we do American nationals. How about that? You guys ready to fight yet? Nearly one in five U.S. residents now lives in a city or CDP in which one-third of the population speaks a foreign language at home. But, I mean, you're talking about the whole United States here. Everything we've been talking about here has been populated heavy. New Jersey, New York, these are the heaviest population centers. L.A., Los Angeles, and in the whole United States. This includes Dale City, Virginia, 43%, Norwalk, Connecticut, and when it is, you know, not over half, 43%, that's pretty goddamn close. Norwalk, Connecticut, and New Rochelle, New York, each 42%, and Aurora, Colorado, and Troy, Michigan, each 35%. In contrast to many of the nation's cities, in rural areas outside the metropolitan areas, just 8% speak a language other than English at home. The data released thus far indicates that nationally, nearly one in four public school students now speaks a language other than English at home. Three in California, 44%. It says three in California. I don't get that. In California, 44% of school age 5 to 17-year-old children speak a foreign language at home, and it's roughly one-third in Texas, Nevada, New Jersey, New York, and Florida. Of school-aged children 5 to 17 who speak a foreign language at home, 85% were born in the United States. Even among, whatever the fuck you say, even among adults 18 and older, more than one-third of those who speak a foreign language at home are U.S. born. Of those who speak a foreign language at home, 25.9 million, 39%, told the Census Bureau that they speak English less than very well. Yeah, no shit. This figure is entirely based on the opinion of the respondent. The Census Bureau does not measure language skills. See, what do we got going here? City forced to abolish civil asset forfeiture and pay back victims of millions in stolen. This is from a free thought project. It's sent in by number one New World Order hater. For discussion, I'm from the trenches, worldreport.com. Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, the city that has gained a reputation for the civil asset forfeiture practices committed by its police department, will now be forced to dismantle the program altogether as a result of a lawsuit filed by a family who had their home seized by police after their son was accused of a minor drug crime. Residents who have been harmed, well, they don't think there ain't going to be appeals and that this is a done deal, by the way. Residents who have been harmed by the Philadelphia Police Department civil asset forfeiture practices could also receive part of $3 million in compensation. Markella and Chris Soravelius initially filed a lawsuit in 2014 after their son was caught trying to sell $40 worth of heroin on the streets. The parents complied with the judge and took their son to court-ordered rehabilitation treatment, but when they returned home, they found that the police had locked them out of their house. The Soravellas family home was seized by police, even though there was no evidence that the parents had any knowledge of their son's attempt to sell drugs. And there was no evidence that the parents or any other family, see what they're talking about here. I don't give a shit if they did sell it out of there. In the first place, in the first place, there's no law. The common law doesn't. There is no victim in the common law that could even say anything about the kid selling the fucking drugs, let alone a common law litigant that could take their goddamn house from them. This is just corporate federal government just seizing, just taking because they want it. Son's attempt to sell drugs, and there was no evidence that the parents or any other family members had engaged in any kind of drug-related activity deemed illegal by the state. Deemed illegal. Boy, that's good. The story received significant media attention as the country was introduced to the horror many Philadelphia residents face, and the district attorney eventually dropped the case against the family. In a statement from December 2014, Chris Soravellis said he was relieved by the verdict, but was committed to continuing the fight to ensure that other residents were not subjected to the same nightmare. So this is just one case. So they're not that they're not continuing. They just probably took another house just now. After months of uncertainty, my family can finally rest easy knowing that our home is our home again, Soravelius said. I lived in Philadelphia for over 30 years. I never thought it was possible for the police to just show up at my doorstep without notice and take my house when I've done nothing. Well, in the first place, those police can't exist. I mean, this is how far gone people are. This is how stupid people have become. That they don't even know who they are or what they are. But that's exactly what happened to me and my family, and we're not alone. That's why we're going to keep fighting for everyone still trapped in Philadelphia's civil forfeiture nightmare. This is treachery, crime. This is sedition against the people and the Bill of Rights. Savellis worked with the Institute of Justice to file a new lawsuit, a class action lawsuit, in the Admiralty, which alleged that the city was seizing 300 to 500 homes each year, violating residents' constitutional rights. Which constitution? Which rights? Those amendment things? And illegally creating a profit incentive because the revenue generated by the program was going straight to the local police and district attorney. No. To say that the city has a problem is an understatement. While the city of Allegheny, Pennsylvania, filed 200 petitions for civil asset forfeiture from 2008 to 2011, Philadelphia filed 6,560 petitions in 2011. A report from the Philadelphia Inquirer also found that the city had brought in more than $64 million in seized property from 2004 to 2014, which is almost twice the amount raised by cities like Brooklyn, New York, and Los Angeles, California. A 2015 report from the American Civil Liberties Union noted that an estimated 32% of cash forfeitures are not supported by a conviction. even in their admiralty, this is so insane. I mean, what person can even say civil asset forfeiture without charge or without conviction? I mean, I don't know. I've read the procedural due process, but I'm sorry, this just don't sound like it. Which means more than $1 million is forfeited every year from innocent residents of Philadelphia. I guess you're living under the freest government on the planet. Worrying evidence suggests that the profits and sweeping powers offered by civil forfeiture have distorted a tool originally targeted at cartels and drug kingpins. That's right. It was for foreigners, just like the surveillance. They were only surveil. Remember that they were only gonna tap the phones and surveil. The Al Qaeda. Them people from other couldn't do it to an American. You can't do that to an American. Everybody knows you can't do that to an American. When they were caught doing it to every goddamn American, that's when the congressman they came onto the television. They said, "We cannot finance this. We have to stop the finance. We cannot find this is a violation of the law." Well, I guess this kind of finances itself. This shows you that there is no goddamn law, that you sure as hell don't have any rights to property in this country. An article in the Philadelphia City paper in 2012 indicated that Philadelphia prosecutors regularly forfeit sums as small as $100 and that people trying to get their property back sometimes had to attend upwards of 10 court dates just to reach a hearing before a judge. That's right there. I got the Bill of Rights here. I'm pretty sure that's in there. That you get 10 court hearings. Let's see, let's talk about seizing people's property. It's the fourth article. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated and no warrant shall issue but upon probable cause supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. No, Article 5, no person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on a presentment of an indictment of a grand jury, except in cases arising in the land and naval forces or in the militia when in actual service in time of war or public danger. Nor shall any person be subject for the same offense to be twice put in jeopardy of life and limb, nor shall be compelled in any criminal case to be a witness against himself, nor be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of the law. I guess that the definition of due process of the law has kind of changed a little bit here, hasn't it, people? Let's see here. Where were we? Forfeited sums of $100 that people trying to get their property. Oh, yeah, they didn't get to, or a judge, I mean, like 10 hearings. Other media accounts chronicle the human toll of civil forfeiture. In one, a Philadelphia grandmother faced losing her home because a grandson sold a small amount of drugs out of it. In another, a Lancaster mother had $300 seized from her purse when her son was arrested on narcotic charges. You see, this is like when I was talking with Katie the other day and we're talking about owning gold. And just came and took $300 out of the lady's purse. They held they used to be called highway robbery. It used to be called strong arm robbery, didn't it? I don't know what's happened to this country. The city of Philadelphia has now agreed to a settlement which includes the following promises, according to a report from Reason. The city will no longer seek property forfeitures for simple drug possession. Oh, ain't that wide of them? They can't do. The city will stop seizing petty amounts of cash without accompanying arrests or evidence in a criminal case. Wow. Jeez, boy, they're being brought in. I can feel the Bill of Rights coming back, people. I can feel it. The city will put judges in charge of forfeiture hearings and will streamline the hearing process. Let's see how that fits. Let's see. There's one of them here. I don't think that. Let me just check here. Okay. In suits at common law where the value of controversy shall exceed $20, and remember this could not never be amended, now they're saying it's like 12, they just write it down on a piece of paper and they can change any of this. That's why it was called unalienable. The right of the trial by jury shall be preserved, and no fact tried by a jury shall otherwise be re-examined in any court of the United States other than the rules of, according to the rules of common law. They just don't fit together, do they? This country, I mean, the people talking about the restitution of the Constitution, you gotta better figure out which one you're talking about, you know? How can you restore something that's been gone? They've been running this country as a corporation since 1868. I mean, and just like the articles of your Bill of Rights becoming, somebody wrote them in as amendments because thinking that we can change them, because over here in the other part of this document, we just made this, instead of it being a separate body of law, just made it a part, and we can go ahead and amend that. That second amendment to start would get rid of them guns, and then by God, we can do what we please. The city will no longer carry. The city will put judges in charge of forfeiture hearings. Well, fuck those juries. Well, you ain't got no right, no jury, where they can take your property. The city will ban the Philadelphia District Attorney and Philadelphia Police Department from using forfeiture revenue to fund their payroll. That's a thief's getting to keep their shit. Anyway, people, we're at the bottom of the hour, and I think this is as much as I'm going to do today. Charity isn't going to come up on the air. When I get, I'm going to call it a day, and I'm going to go down and have Laura push the button. I'll go ahead and give it to you guys, even if Charity doesn't give the $5. And, that's on his conscience. That being said, that is the word from the trenches.